Well, welcome, my friends, guys, to another special edition of Altered States. I forgot what the name of my show was there for a minute. Did you remember?
Yeah, I
was
did.
You like saying it's got to be Altered State, right? Okay. And what episode is this?
Nine.
Is it really? This number nine? Today is going to be some good stuff because we're going to talk about spiritual warfare in the sense of, is it a kingdom issue or is it not a kingdom issue? Because if you understand that it's a kingdom issue, that's a whole different playing field.
Right. And you understand more so how to righteously judge.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And so you guys are going to see what I'm talking about whenever we come back to that. Guys, I want to say hello to everybody. I also want to say a great big hello to all of our new people that have plugged in. And as a matter of fact, will you send me, I want to give a bunch of shout outs here today. Thank you. Now, Shay is off camera. She doesn't want to get on camera today. And you got to see, her hair looks like a rat's nest right now.
It does.
It does. It looks like a rat's nest. And she's like, no, I can't be on camera today. So she removed the microphone and everything. Like, no, I'm not going to be on. So I'm like, okay. But she's here for I don't know, moral support and general morale and all things like that. I want to say hello to all my friends that I just got hooked up with out at BlurryCon last week. Oh, my gosh. What a great event that was. One of the best conferences I've ever been to in my whole life. And that's all I do is go to conferences. Now, I say that a lot because everything is getting heightened. Everything is getting better and better and better. But at BlurryCon, and man, there's an awesome picture right there. I love that. Man, the house was, you know, was sold out. I was there with Nate and with Luke, and there's old Tony Merkel, and we all sit up there. And I sent out pictures, and all these Christians started hating on me. They're like, why do you have a skull on your desk? Like, have you gone rogue? Have you left the kingdom? I'm like, no, I have not. In fact, I carry a skull underneath this hat, as a matter of fact. But it was because it was actually a Goonies theme. And so it looked like all things Goonies. But that was an elongated skull because it's blurry creatures. And anyway, it was an amazing, amazing event. And I just want to give a great big shout out to my friends over at Blurry Creatures, to Nate, and to, thank you, Luke. I'm sorry about that. To Nate and to Luke and to the literal more than 1,000 people I gave a hug to over those 3 days out there. It was great. And then one of my favorite people in the whole world is a guy by the name of Travis, who uncovers giant footprints here in Texas, and especially out at Glen Rose. And I know that our team is working on getting him here as quick as we can. And I'm actually going to go out to the Paluxy River, which is only like 3 miles away from my house. And it's not even 3 miles. It's like a mile and a half away from my house. And we're going to go out there, and he's going to show me, because whenever he finds these giant prints, Connie, he has to cover them back up because people come out there and they destroy them.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what they do, because it doesn't fit with the narrative of evolution.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's
I remember
crazy.
You talking about that. You remember being a little boy and you could find those and they got destroyed.
The hillbillies in Glen Rose used to call those giant man tracks. They used to call them caveman tracks.
Sounds about right. Yeah.
And so there were these signs that said, hey, Anthrocanthosaurus tracks. And then there was these other signs that said caveman tracks.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was a little boy, before it was actually a state park, you know, I grew up here, so we'd go out there, and I remember, you know, stepping from one step to another step, jumping, having to jump, you know,
right,
because I was a little boy. Then in 72, 74, something like that, the state came in, and they turned it into a state park. They literally removed them, and they said that they said it never existed. They said, no, those were not. No. Well, then why did you remove them?
Right.
No, those, because what they're saying is, actually, those were dinosaur tracks, but they just... through the process of time, over millions and millions of years, it turned into looking like they were human tracks. Well, then why did you remove them if they're dinosaur tracks? Because you didn't remove all the other ones.
Yeah.
What is all that about?
And then there are even some that have those giant giant footprints right next to dinosaur prints.
Yeah.
So they're obviously not the same.
Yeah, out there at the Creation Museum, they have a dinosaur track with a man track crossing it.
That's awesome.
So the flood was coming and everybody was heading for the hills is what was happening. And so it definitely fits a biblical narrative, but it doesn't fit the greatest hoax that has ever been perpetrated upon human beings, the theory of evolution. And I just tell you guys, don't put up with it for 1 second. It's just baloney. It's just baloney. By faith, we know, Hebrews chapter 11 says, that the world was not made out of nothing, that God Almighty made it out of nothing. And Yeah, that's Hebrews chapter 11. I was reading that on Sunday.
Yeah, you gave an awesome message on Hebrews 11. And I think that you talked about how like verse 1-3 is all about, hey, this is what faith is.
Yep.
And that was so cool to me. I was like, that's awesome. You know, like in this world famous chapter for, you know, exploits of faith, right in the beginning, it has, hey, this is a biblical definition of what faith looks like.
Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. The substance of faith, the fabric of faith comes from hope.
Yeah.
It's like, mm-hmm. you know, it literally comes from the substance of hope. And it is proof or the evidence that there's something going on here. It's proof that there's something going on here than what you can just physically touch. So it's how heaven invades earth.
Yeah. And that's why we're supposed to always have an answer for our hope.
You might need to pull up your microphone a little bit.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I should probably scoot up.
You forgot all about that. So, yeah,
I did.
You might want to pull that up just a little bit. It's great
chilled.
To see everybody, man, that's here today. And, guys, we have so many people that's already here. Mark Erkstein and Jill Jones-Jacobs. And, look, Troy Brewer's on here.
Oh.
That's pretty cool. I know. Brenda, I'm so happy that you're here. Georgette, I'm so happy that you're here. Friends from all over the planet Earth. And I also got to give a great big shout-out to our brand-new lifetime partner, Wendell Guth out of Oklahoma. Wendell, thank you so much for hooking it up with us for a lifetime. Wow. Way to go, brother. And then we have a whole bunch of stage two partners, Christina from Pennsylvania, Virginia from Georgia, Raymond from Texas, Justin and Christina from, what is NE? Is that Nebraska?
Mm-hmm.
Is it? Joanne from Oregon, Aries from Texas. Aries.
Huh.
How about them apples? Erica from Tennessee, Johnny from Texas, and then a whole bunch of stage three partners, seven new ones.
Wow.
Sherry from Texas, Brian and Laura from Florida, Karen from Tennessee, Tanika from South Dakota, LaDonna from Texas, Lynn from Montana, and Rick from Pennsylvania.
Awesome.
I welcome you guys, and I bless y'all in the mighty name of King Jesus. Thank you guys so much, man, for joining us, and I hope that you're going to be joining us this coming Saturday for ODX
Whoa.
Weekend with the release of The Counter. There it is, guys. And it's exclusive to ODX members. A whole day with me and Brian Schwartz and Joseph Z and Alan DiDio and Tony Merkel and Darren Stott. And it's going to be a hoot. Also, one of the things that's going to happen for all of our people that's going to be there, not only are we going to be watching the first episode of The Counter, and we're going to be doing that, but also, too, everybody's going to get this cool magazine. And I'm telling you guys, this magazine is really cool. And I just saw it today for the very first time. And it is like, dadgummit, man, you guys did a good job on this. We're also going to be showing a special behind-the-scenes video. I think it's like 11 minutes long or something like that. And it's so good. After this weekend is over with and once this thing is released, we'll have a show and we'll show it on there because it really is worth watching. I mean, it's done so well. And I wish we had just a small clip of it or whatever. But you know what? Let's do that tomorrow. So on tomorrow's podcast, we'll be sure and do that. But that is going to be this weekend. But I do got to tell everybody that if you're not an ODX member, you can still join us at Open Door Church on Sunday because all of these cats are going to be with me. We're all going to be on the stage, and we're going to be talking about crazy stuff, and we're going to be praying over everybody. But all of us, man, all six of us are going to be on the same stage here at Open Door Church, and our intent is to change the stage into an altar. Boom.
Oh, whoa.
What else am I supposed to tell everybody? Anything else over there? Oh, I do. There is this little thing, my brand new book,
whoop, whoop.
Numbers That Preach. And as a matter of fact, all day long today, we're going to be filming a whole bunch of special things for this. But Destiny Image has released my book. It's a book that's over 30 years old, and this is the third edition. It is revised. It is updated. It is far superior to any other form of Numbers That Preach. And I'm telling you, I'm not just saying that. I'm like, dang, it is really good. And all the additional new chapters we have in it on 11:11, I'm looking at. I'm looking at 8:8:8 right now.
And the things that you wanted to update for a while, you got the chance to now.
I did.
With this one. So yes, that's exciting.
I just praise God for it. And Destiny Image has done such a great job on it. Alan DiDio's boy. What's his name?
Evan.
Yeah, man, I'm having trouble with names today. Guys, I've been traveling for a long time. And I've been doing a lot, and I'm a little bit fragged today. But Alan DeDio suggested that I get Evan to do it. And boy, look at that cover. What a great cover.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, he just does. Everything he does is just great. So anyway, big shout out to Evan. I need to send that brother a book. But guys, this will be available this weekend. Now, it will not be available on Amazon until January, but we got the first 1,000 books, and we have them. And so we're going to be selling them exclusive through TroyBrewer.com, and that starts on Saturday. And if you get your book on Saturday, you get a 20% discount. And then that's it. Okay, I think I've done it all.
Did it.
I did it. Okay. So this morning, I was coming into work, and you're like, hey, Pastor Troy, what are we going to talk about today on Altered State? And I'm like, well, I have a lot of things I want to talk about. But I was like, I want to talk about the kingdom because there is a – let's you and I talk about this first because we've already kind of had this discussion. It's really good. But what spiritual warfare looked like before Jesus and what spiritual warfare looks like after Jesus are two completely different mamba-jambas.
Yeah.
And in fact, you don't even see demons being cast out until Jesus shows up. And then it's like a huge part of the ministry of Jesus and the early church. Thank you, ma'am. You sure don't want to come on camera and give me this coffee?
Get back here.
All of a sudden, I mean, nobody had ever seen anybody just go around casting out demons. That didn't happen until Jesus. And then the disciples did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so what, in your mind, what did spiritual warfare look like up until the time of Jesus?
Well, obviously, I go back to the Old Testament and just how the Hebrew people, you know, when they were beginning to get on board with Yahweh as a whole in the wilderness. And so you see when there's someone that's unclean or someone that's in the midst of sin, it was either physical removal or physical death. So either they were thrown out of the camp and they had some kind of cleansing or something that had to happen, depending on what kind of sin they committed. But if there was a different type of sin, like witchcraft, then a lot of times it was just straight up death, straight up stoning.
Okay, so, and another thing too, and if you were going to take spiritual territory, you had to take physical territory.
Yes.
So I need you to understand this, that up until the time of Jesus, human beings did not have dominion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really big deal. Up until Jesus, human beings had no dominion, so it was all physical warfare. And if they messed up, they physically died.
Yeah.
And if somebody partnered with the devil, they physically died.
Mm-hmm.
After Jesus, the human beings live and the devil has to go.
Right.
And that is the big change that happens. And so, you know, I heard T.D. Jakes say one time, you know, now, man, whenever we do spiritual warfare, we don't, you know, grab a bunch of machine guns and go running out by the swim pool and you conquer the Philistines and then you turn and you run and gun and do it. He goes, no. We do this from a different state in a different place now.
Mm-hmm.
And because now we actually have authority.
Right. We had given that over to the enemy in the garden.
Yes.
When it got usurped. And a lot of times you see too that like now in the New Testament, we can be the catalyst that begins the taking of a territory or something just because of your authority that you have in King Jesus and your personal relationship. But like you were saying beforehand, it was like, okay, there has to be a physical act first that happens.
Yep.
The whatever God you serve in your land has to be greater than the God that these people serve in their land.
Yes. And so warfare was like literally a spiritual thing.
Yes.
It was like, but it was true warfare. And I mean, even like the sign of the covenant is physical circumcision, like hello nurse. Okay, you want to serve Yahweh? Well, here's a knife. That's not a good way to grow the church. Well, friends, we're having circumcision Sunday at Open Door Church this coming Sunday, followed by whiskey and gun hand night. Yeah, I'm sorry, whiskey and handgun night on Wednesday night. No, that's not how you do things. That's not how that works. So it's like, because now Jesus has come in and he's given us dominion and they have to get with our program. We had to get with the spiritual program physically before. Mm-hmm. Now the spiritual world has to get with our program.
Yes.
And that, guys, I just, even just talking that, I don't know that I have ever heard anybody ever say that from a pulpit. Like, you need to understand, you are made to have dominion. And the when Jesus says, here's how it works. If you forgive on the earth, it'll be forgiven in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is that? Like, okay, I'm giving you now the keys of the kingdom. I'm giving you now dominion. And now the spirit realm is going to go according to what you say instead of you having to go according to what the spirit realm says.
Yes. And now
so it's like, represent me.
Yes. And now it's not like, I love when you see it, the Bible talks about you're no longer a slave to sin, or your members are no longer given over to bondage.
Yes.
Into sin. And it's because beforehand, sin had legal right over you. It had legal right and access
yes.
to you.
Yes.
The only hope that you have from that is King Jesus. That's literally the only hope that we have to not be enslaved to sin.
I hate slavery.
Hate slavery.
And I don't want this brother to be a slave.
Right.
And so I want to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He's come to give us freedom, and he's come to give us life and life more abundantly, and to be set free in every way that we can. And then he says, now that you've been redeemed, go and redeem everything else. Okay, guys, these kinds of lenses is a setup for where I'm going to take you today. And so I'm going to go to a scripture, and you're about to see something in a crazy way. Now, have you ever seen anybody who is blind get their eyesight?
No.
I've seen it four times. Four times in my life I've seen it. And one.
Creation and things that are made.
Yeah, come Whoa. On, sister. And I want to tell you also, if I can throw this out there, all four times I was with Gina Zagara.
Yeah.
The brother has an anointing for that.
Yes.
Which is crazy. And so I've seen it in Africa, I've seen it in India, and I've seen it in Mexico. And all four times I was with Pastor Gene Izaguirre.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome that y'all have gone all over the world together.
Yeah, we have. I hadn't talked to him like a year and a half. I need to call that brother.
Yeah.
Right on. All right. Well, let's go through this thing. So I have seen and have been with Leanna, and we've seen this thing happen four different times. Okay, can you imagine? So let's just talk about the spiritual warfare of, okay, there's a little boy, and the little boy, he's been blind since birth, never seen anything. And we pray for him every year. Every year that we would go to India, we'd always go and find this little boy, and we would pray for him. Kid's name was Joshua. And he's wild as March hare. And mm-hmm. Leanna and I both love bad kids. We like the bad ones. And this kid was wild. I'm talking about like Helen Keller wild. I'm talking about okay. out of his yeah. tree. I mean, run up to you, just stick his hands in your mouth. And you're like, oh, your oh hands, gosh. Brother. They don't even have toilet paper in India. It's like, you just put your hand in my mouth, man. And so it's like,
it's
okay.
Rough.
And so, man, it was rough, sister, rough, rough. And so, like, do not put your hands in my mouth. He just started laughing. He'd start trying to find your mouth, you know, like, no, quit it. Anyway, we saw him, and I was with Pastor Jim Maxwell, who is
yes.
my pastor. Pastor Jim took a picture of him so that we would pray with him afterwards, you know, mm-hmm. always see his picture. And when the flash went off, he went, ah, and he saw the flash. And we're like, did you see that? So he just started taking pictures of him. And you can see that through the progression of those pictures, you can see his eyes forming.
That's wild.
And it's crazy. So,
whoa.
So now that I've said all that, so we're talking about that is spiritual warfare at a different kind of level, right? Okay,
right.
Now I'm going to show this to you in the Word of God. This is John chapter 9. And it says, now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 5 is where we're at. And his disciples asked him, saying, now, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And I want to stop. By the way, thanks for putting that scripture up there, man. Way to go, bro. Okay. For one thing, they're still at the stage where they're calling him Rabbi. Okay. Mm-hmm. By the time they get to the Last Supper, they say, is it me, Lord? Is it me, Lord? And then Judas says, is it me, Rabbi?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Whoa.
He was okay with him being his teacher, but he was not okay with him being Lord. By the time that we get to the Last Supper, we see that the disciples call him Lord, right? But at this stage, they're following him, and they're committed to following him. They're committed to learning his ways, and they're calling him Rabbi. And they said, okay, Rabbi, we need to know what your philosophy is on this. Teach us about this. Is this guy blind because of the sin of his parents, or is this guy blind because he sinned? Like, whose fault is this? And then this is what Jesus says. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, because the night time is coming when nobody can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. All right.
Wow.
I want to take you to the scripture because when he says that the works of God must be made manifest, another place says that the kingdom must be manifest. And whatever the translation is, what's real is rather he's like, this is not a sin issue. This is a kingdom issue. And wow. He's like, see, God's kingdom has not had dominion in this place. And I want to just tell you, it's not about him sinning. It's not about his mom and dad sinning. That's not what's happening here. What's happening here is I am about to bring the Father's heart. And let me tell you what the kingdom is, Connie. The kingdom is where the king has dominion. That's what kingdom. It's got the word king and it's got dom in it. King having dominion. And he's like, I'm here to do those works. This is what I'm here. And I'm glad that you're here to see this day. So, you know, the whole thing, man, he tells him to do what he does and he does what he does. And then the brother ends up seeing, mind you, he was blind from birth. So Luke chapter 31 says, let's see, is this the same one here? Is this old? Did you give me those?
Yeah, those are the right.
Okay, right on. So before I get off into Luke chapter 31, let me say this. When I look at spiritual warfare, one of the things that I am constantly looking at is what is the kingdom issue in this? Now, you need to understand, if you're going to play the devil's game in spiritual warfare, you're going to walk around with some kind of ridiculous recorder that picks up paranormal voices, and you're going to go to the graveyard, or you're going to go to the deal, and you're like, okay, Mr. Spook here, who are you? And then it's going to say, my name is Sarah, which they're liars. They're liars. And like, okay, well, what happened here so that you had dominion? Oh, murder happened here. So we're mm-hmm. caught in this space. It's all about the sin that happened there.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's all about. It's like, okay, there's sin that happened here. Okay, dude, you go to this hotel, the Minger Hotel down in Big Time San Antonio, Texas. Go in there, the Minger Hotel, supposed to be the most haunted hotel mm-hmm. in Texas. You go down there, my God. This chick walks the halls and freaks everybody out. This dude walks the halls and freaks everybody out. What happened here? Murder, rape, all kinds of horrible things have happened there.
Right.
Not to mention it's on the grounds of the Alamo. Okay. All of this death that has taken place there and murder and terror and screams and begging for mercy and none was given. Okay. When you play the spiritual warfare game on the devil's turf, it's about whose sin is this? But if you play the spiritual warfare game on the kingdom turf, it's about who has dominion here. And let's change
so
that.
So good. Mm-hmm.
And I just think in this episode of Altered State, I want to just kind of just offer to everybody that is watching right now and say this. You know, it's true. It is very true that we contribute and break a lot of laws and all these kinds of things. But when the Bible says that the blood of Jesus speaks better things than that of the blood of Abel, and Abel wins and fights this warfare from whose sin is it? The blood of Abel screams whose sin it is. Okay, so it's spiritual warfare that demands justice because there's been sin here. The demons do not demand justice. They demand that they have a right to have dominion there because of sin. Jesus shows up and says, it ain't about anybody's sin. It's about, I'm here to do the works of the Father. He's like, I represent the kingdom. And it's about, is this a kingdom issue or is it not a kingdom issue? Is it about, I'm not going to play their game. Mm-hmm. It's not about if this guy sinned or his parents sinned. You will lose every single time. And that's what the devil will do to you. You'll be like praying and all of a sudden you're like, I thought something really bad a few minutes ago, so therefore my prayer is illegitimate. If you fight spiritual warfare on the terms of who has sinned, you're out.
Yeah, you've already lost.
Jesus is like, I'm here to do the works.
Mm-hmm.
I'm here to do the kingdom thing, and that's what I'm here to do. That is the game changer that all of us have to be able to realize in this.
Yeah, but as you're saying, like as you're calling up these different scriptures and situations in the Bible, I think that it still shows so heavily how there's still a physical part of spiritual warfare. Like Abel's blood, it cried out from the ground.
Yep, physical ground.
Yeah, the physical ground. And then these places, like at the hotel in San Antonio, in the different places where these physical acts took place, these physical unclean acts, it then, I can't think of the word, but it like it makes the land or that place unclean, yes. and it opens a portal.
Yes.
So that these different types of entities and stuff, things yep. have authority to rule and reign there. And I can't help but think of Romans 8:19, where I think it's, yeah, it's Paul who writes that the earnest expectation of all creation eagerly awaits the revealing of the sons of God. So, you know, the creation, that's the physical. So physicality itself is waiting for us to enter into our authority so that we can redeem all of it. It's, yes, Jesus redeemed us, but then he sent us out to redeem everything. Like, we're supposed to be the ones making the earth his footstool.
Come on.
Yeah, so there's still such a big physical part of spiritual warfare, but now we're not subject to the physicality of spiritual warfare. Now we can be the ones who go into these physical places and we redeem the land or we redeem whatever it is for King Jesus.
Doing the works of the Father.
Doing the works.
So one of the things that Jesus will not play, and you see this over and over and over again, is the who has sinned game. And I want to just throw this out there again to you, and you got to remember, anytime that anybody gets involved in demonic stuff and demonic manifestations, it's always about what blood was spilled there, mm-hmm. who sinned. It's always about that. But Jesus wouldn't play that game. He's like, no, I'm not here to play that game, because mm-hmm. that's a whole nother set of rules where we do not have dominion. And he's like, I'm not playing that. I came to do the works of the Father, and I'm going to show you. I'm playing a whole different thing.
And it's a higher kingdom.
It's a higher kingdom. It's got a whole different set of rules that mm-hmm. overlays on top of the rules of the other. So in Luke chapter 13, it says in verses 1-5, another example of this is, there was present at that season some who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. I want to just stop.
Yeah,
I want to just stop.
What?
Yeah, what the heck? You know, again, Luke assumes we will know what the heck that they're talking about.
Right.
Because the readers during his time knew what he was talking about. But it's like, okay, who told him about the Galileans? So we're talking about people that Jesus would have grown up with, mm-hmm. right? And whose blood Pontius Pilate, had mingled with their sacrifices. Okay, so this thing starts off about, they tell Jesus about this unbelievable sin, okay? And then Jesus
answers.
That
these people were made subject to.
That's exactly right. That they were made subject to. And then Jesus answered and said unto them, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than other Galileans? Oh, he's about to bring it. Because they suffered such things? He's like, okay, stop. So Jesus is like, okay, so let me get this straight. You think that because this terrible thing happened, it was because they were worse sinners than somebody else? And again, that's the devil's game.
Oh, they deserved it.
That's exactly right. And the devil will do that to you. The devil will do mm-hmm. that to me.
You have caste systems.
I have been
developed on that very principle.
Come on, sister.
Like, we can treat these people as horrible as we want to because, hey, they came back in this life yep. as this on the caste system. So that means they lived horribly and they were bad people in their past life. So now this is their judgment.
Part of the thing that the devil will do in any kind of spiritual warfare is they're thought slingers, okay? So, like, I've done this, and listen, I'm a grown man, and I talk to women about this. And what's real is, I will have a thought hit me sometimes mm-hmm. that is just not Jesus.
Right.
Like, and the first thing that anybody would think of is, well, it's got to be sexual. It can be sexual. But I mean, I think about things like murder. I think about the worst things that you can think of. Those thoughts will jump on me the way the alien mm-hmm. jumps on you, right? The facehugger. Right. And sometimes it's in a time, in a holy place, in a time of worship, in a time mm-hmm. of, like, man, I'm down there and I'm worshiping, and all of a sudden a thought. And I noticed this when I first started pastoring, and I'm pastoring and I'm leading the house in worship. And all of a sudden, these thoughts would just jump on me, and I'd be like, oh, no, it's being revealed. My sin is being revealed. Mm-hmm. That's what the devil wants you to think.
Yeah.
Because if he can get you to play that game, if he can get you to actually play that game, he can say, I have a right to have dominion. Jesus does not. Give it to me. And you will literally hand it over to him because you think that the Galileans are worse sinners because something terrible befell them.
Right.
Right?
And your thoughts... the way I'm trying to word it, like, your thoughts are, There we go. As a man thinketh, so is he. You know, in your heart, that's what you are. So if the enemy can make you, can infiltrate your heart with these thoughts and you submit to them, you've given over, you know, you've now given over your realm under his dominion instead of your realm being loyal and under the dominion of King Jesus.
Preach it, sister. So it's so real. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Jesus is answering this thing that we're talking about because I want to the mama that's out there, like, my kids are having night terrors, and I wonder what I've done to bring this into my life. I wonder what I've done. Okay, you might have done something. You might have, but I gotta give you something higher than that. It's true that you might have done something, and you do need to repent. You do. But it's also true that you can do the works of the Father and the works of heaven be made manifest, which is a higher dominion power than the works of sin and death. So it's like, you got to quit playing that game. Like, you got some kind of demon in your house, rebuke it, get it out of your house, walk the floors, declare the word of God, anoint your house with oil and say, I no longer give you a right to be here because I said this or I did that. I cancel those things in Jesus' name. I'm not playing that game anymore with you.
Amen. Yes.
And that's what the devil wants you to do is play that game. Mm-hmm. The who has sinned worse game, because that's the devil's playground. Okay. So here he says this. He says, do you suppose that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Okay, I want to stop. When he says, and by the way, I so appreciate you putting that up there on the screen like that. When he says, unless you repent, okay, what is the message of repentance? Repentance for the kingdom is at hand. Repent for the kingdom is at hand. So when you repent, you turn literally from one set of ground rules, from one kingdom into another kingdom. And he said, you play that game, you'll die. That's what it is that he's saying. And then he says this. He says, I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will likewise perish. Or what about those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them? Do you think that they were worse sinners than all other men who dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. He says, you play that game, it's going to get you too. Mm-hmm. If you think those people must have deserved that because they had some terrible sin in their life, that's why a tower fell on them. He says, I'm telling you right now, you play that game, the same thing is going to happen to you. Do not play that game.
And it's that scripture, Matthew 7:2. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. Oh, and with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you.
That is so, so good. Okay. I'm looking here. Let's see here. So whenever they're walking along with Jesus, another example of this, talking about you got to be able to judge things according to the heart of the Father and the way it works in the kingdom, and do not play the game of how it works in the world and in the flesh and in the devil's and within a devil's playground. If you want to have true spiritual authority, you will put away the childish things of I am going to reason this the way that ungodly people reason it, and I am going to play the game of the devil, and I'm going to put away those childish things, and you grab a superior kingdom. You repent, for the kingdom is at hand. You grab a hold of a superior kingdom, and you wield it like a weapon for the heart of the Father. That's what it is that you have to do. There's this great example in Luke chapter 9. It says, now when they came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered into the village of the Samaritans to prepare for him, but they did not receive him because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? I want to stop. They were starting to understand authority, and they were starting to understand bringing heaven to earth, and they were beginning to get it. What they didn't get is that they lived in a completely different operating system than what Elijah operated in. So before Jesus, spiritual warfare looked like you kill the 400 prophets of Baal.
Yeah.
After Jesus, spiritual warfare looks completely different. But they are starting to get it that they have authority, and they said, if you tell us, we will command fire to consume these guys. Did you see that episode on The Chosen when the Samaritans? Dude, it made me mad.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, Jesus, you're like, Jesus is like, yeah, that's what they're doing. They're, you know, and they were throwing like feces at him or something.
It was gross.
And they're like, oh, no, do you want me to? You watch me. I'm so hooked up with you now. I get it. You come from heaven. You tell me, I will command fire to come down. I know that I'm here to bring heaven down. So I'm going to bring fire down.
It's like, interesting to me, too, that they weren't like, no, Jesus, you do this.
Yeah,
you can exactly. They're like, no, you tell me. I'll do it.
Now, see, they're starting to get it. Mm-hmm. They really are starting to get it. Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? But he turned and he rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And then they went to another village.
Yeah.
They're like, what? So he turns around and says, here's the deal. You want to hang with me, you can't operate in that spirit. You're going to have to alter your state.
Yeah, we're no longer I'm sure they were still learning, but they were no longer in the covenant of the law.
Yes.
They were now in the age or the covenant of grace that Jesus brought. He made that available to us. So I can kind of understand why they were like, okay, this is what happens when this happened. This is the correct response for this death. And Jesus was like, no, that's not how we operate anymore.
Okay, so he rebukes them and says, stop it. You need to stop that right now. Quit it. I think because a lot of people, when they begin to understand dominion and authority, you can literally do things in the wrong spirit that Jesus is not in. And you do have power. And I mean, they had a biblical right. They had a kingdom right. They're walking with Jesus. I mean, they believe. They've got it all down. And one of their great heroes is Elijah, of course. Yeah. And he's like, you can't hang with me if you're going to operate in that spirit. So again, getting back to that whole thing.
Oh, and they were looking for the spirit of Elijah to return.
Oh,
whoa.
Well,
I didn't even think of that until now.
I hadn't thought of that either.
So they were like, yeah, we're getting on board.
Okay, so they're like, yeah. Mm-hmm. So it all makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes perfect sense. Like it's prophesied in the Bible we're supposed to do this.
This is what Elijah did.
That's really good. I've never thought about that either. Man, that's incredible. Bottom line is Jesus is like, okay, you're operating in the wrong spirit. You can't hang with me. And so that whole thing of, okay, if you operate in the spirit of, okay, the devil is going to say, and anytime that there's a witch, anytime that there's a demon, they'll say, we have the right because he did this and he did that.
Lawyers.
They're lawyers. They're a bunch of, I say it all the time, they're a bunch of sniveling lawyers, man. That's what they all are. They have been reduced down to lawyers, which cracks me up.
Yes, it's
so funny.
It's a demotion for
it
them.
It is definitely. Yeah. Oh, it is. It absolutely is.
And so they're going to hang on to it.
They're going to hang on to it. Yeah. They're going to hang on to it, and they're going to work it.
Yeah.
They're going to work it. I know that there was I saw a video one time of this guy who had this encounter. He actually died. He overdosed. Mm-hmm. The brother was into shrooms.
Oh, my gosh.
And yeah, there was this great, there was a move among carnal prophetic people.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna throw this out there. You can operate in the wrong spirit and be prophetic.
Yes.
You can operate in the wrong spirit and give the devil a right. And if you don't repent, a worse thing will come upon you. That's what Jesus is saying. You operate in that spirit, it's going to spank you. That's what it's going to do. So this knucklehead, you know, the brother loves Jesus. Now he's from Seattle, you know, and so he loves Jesus and he's out doing the thing. And I know people who in their conquest of seeking the Lord and wanting to see next level spiritual things have done drugs and go, but I'm doing this in the name of Jesus, so it's going to be okay. It is the equivalent of saying, I'm going to spice up my marriage so we're all going to watch pornography now. Honey, come in here. Let's watch hours of pornography because, you know, everything's legal. We're married. You're operating in the wrong spirit.
Right. We're not cheating.
Yeah, we're not cheating. It's me and you together. Mm-hmm. Here we go. That's what swingers do. And then you lose your family. You lose your kids. You lose your house. You lose everything because you don't know what spirit you are of. And you cannot do that. So Yeah, so this brother, the brother on shrooms, he has a heart attack and he dies. He finds himself in this chasm, and he is literally in the hand of God. And on one side of the chasm are all these demons, and on the other side of the chasm is the Lord, and the Lord is just standing there, just looking at him like, knucklehead, I've saved you, I've redeemed you, I love you, you love me, but you operate in the wrong spirit. Now listen, and they were saying, we have the right to do this, we have the right, and Jesus was like, no, he's mine. Mm-hmm. And they were saying, no, no, we have this, we have that, and he said, listen, he's mine. And then this big demon steps up and said, he might be yours, but he eats at our table.
Ugh. Gosh.
That's what the demon said. So we won.
That's fellowship too.
Yeah,
that's
fellowship.
Oh my gosh.
Dude, that is the scariest thing.
So
dude, that
scary.
Is a scary thing. And the guy's like, oh no, because yeah. I do. And mm-hmm. he's literally in the hand of God. He's in a hand. He's in a physical hand. And all he's got to do is go like this, and he's going to plummet. And then the Lord saves him. He says, no, I'm saving. God walked him around heaven, and Jesus and everybody in heaven loved Jesus and looked at him like, what a loser for you to put Jesus through what he just went through. And there's this scripture where it says, I am disdained in heaven. Only the Lord loves me in heaven. There's a scripture where David says that. I think that David had actually had that encounter too.
Probably. David was rough.
I know. And Jesus walked him around, and everybody's looking at him going, really? Really, dude?
But if that isn't all of us, honestly, in something.
Oh, my gosh.
But it makes me grateful what it says. Like, look, the Lord is not ashamed to be called your God.
Exactly right. Even when everybody else in heaven is ashamed.
Yes.
He's not ashamed. I love that. But operating in the wrong spirit will do that every single time. So, like, if you're like, okay, if you're going to, whenever you do spiritual warfare, okay, when Jesus says pray for your enemies, it doesn't mean surrender to your enemies.
No.
And we think it means surrender to your, it actually means opposite. He's like, no, you got to operate in the right spirit. Mm-hmm. If you're going to win this battle, you have to operate in the right spirit. And whenever I was young and when I was immature in this thing, I thought it was about God wanted to just see me do the right thing in order for me to win his favor, for him to actually show up and do the battle. No, it's about me operating in my authority in the right spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't do that,
I've disqualified
myself. And that's why Jesus turned to the disciples and said, stop what you're doing now. You're operating in the wrong spirit, and you have no idea how dangerous that is. It's like, I've seen prophets prophesy mean and horrible things, and they were prophets.
Yeah.
And it
tried
was
and true. Yeah.
And it was a prophetic gift. I've seen them shame people. I seen one thing that was, I have a really good story about fixing that, but I saw a young man that was like 16 years old, and this prophet called him out and exposed sexual sin about him in front of the whole congregation. And he was so shamed. He knew that he was anointed. He knew that God was in the room, but neither one of them knew, the prophet or the man or the young man who was being shamed, that they were all operating in the wrong spirit in the midst of being gifted by God.
Mm-hmm.
And people are fooled. I don't know what to tell you except for to say we have to know what spirit we're operating in. We have to. So when Jesus tells us to pray for our enemies, he's not saying surrender to your enemies.
No.
What he's saying is operate in the right spirit in this if you're going to bring the kingdom. Otherwise, you're just going to open up the door for hell to say, oh, no, no, he's playing the game. And the game is they're more sinful than he is. And mm-hmm. I can point out where he's more sinful than that person. And we afflicted that person with cancer. So now we have the right to afflict that person with cancer. Don't play the game.
Don't play the game. You get onto their battlefield. And one of my favorite examples of this is it's John Ramirez. And he came out of a life of like high occultism. In New York, you know, 25 years, got saved.
Wow.
Loves Jesus. And so he was on some Caribbean island, and he's preaching at a church, and this voodoo priest comes to confront him. And so because he already knows what his, like, the guy's playbook is, he knows don't get angry, don't get riled up. Because if I open up myself to anger, then he's got me. And that was crazy to me to think that if they can just get you emotionally unbalanced, then they have an inroad, until I remembered that scripture that says, a man that's angry all the time is like a city without walls. Oh, and I'm like, that's spiritual warfare.
Jesus, sister.
That's spiritual warfare. Like, they use that
just
to their own.
Just getting mad and upset causes your walls to come down.
Just that, yes. That's why you be angry and don't sin.
Be angry and sin not. Stick with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. So I was like they understand these principles. You know, they understand how to operate in them. And like, it's our responsibility to be able to be like, no, we're not going to get on that battlefield. We're going to stay with King Jesus in the higher kingdom that has dominion over this lesser kingdom, this lesser operating system.
Mm. The old shroom prophet.
Yeah.
The old shroom prophet. Whenever the Lord rebuked the devil, he said, no, he's mine. And he said, come to me. He walked him around heaven, and I haven't seen that video in a long time. I need to look it up because it is a masterpiece.
It's really good.
The guy's a trip, okay? But you know what? You know what video I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
And the guy's a trip. I'm like, man, what a knucklehead, man. Like, golly, dude, come on. But he's like, Jesus swapped me around and told me, he says, yeah, you came this close. Like, don't do that again. Like he was like, seriously, like Jesus was like, I love you. I really do. And you do that again, they're going to get you. I mean, I literally had to move heaven and earth upon your behalf because I love you that much, but you're operating in this thing. And don't do that again. Like, wow. That's something.
Yeah. Can you imagine that conversation with Jesus?
Oh, so sorry, man. So sorry. Like, wow. He's like, yeah, you nearly spent eternity in hell over that. You know, people are like, yeah, but he's been saved, so there's no way he can go to hell. You just read the book of Jude is what I have to say to that. You don't want to leave your first estate.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to bail. You are secure in Christ, but you better stick with him.
Right. He's the tent peg. Like, he's the one that has us secured.
That's true.
But don't jump off. Don't jump off the tent peg.
And then, you know, jump off over to Shroomville and be over there in all your shenanigans and be over there in all your mess, and then make the Lord come over there and get you. And I praise God for all the testimonies of people who say that they're literally in hell and Jesus showed up and opened up a door and said, nope, I want this one. This one is mine. And all hell protests and go, no, this one is ours. And he's like, no. There's stuff going on that you don't know about between me and him, and I know.
Yeah, but when I come across like testimonies and stuff like that, I think about it's Peter, 2 Peter, and he talks about like people who know the truth and then turn their backs on it. It would be better had they not known it originally. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I'm like, that is
pretty rough.
That's rough.
Pretty rough.
That's rough.
Jesus talks about, oh, you know what? It'd have been a lot better place for you to have never existed at all than to exist in the state that you're going to exist in for eternity. So getting back to the very beginning of all this, as we wrap this up, I want to say this to you, that you have to know, okay, is it a kingdom issue? It's not about, okay, I'm going to step into this. I'm going to try and find out every single sin that has ever happened there so that I can undo all of that. I'm going to have to find this that, okay. I want to be careful how I say this, because what's real is there are things in the demonic that do have to be unwound, but it's a kingdom issue and it's a spirit issue. It is not about, I'm going to go toe to toe against you. And it's not like that. It is about bringing the kingdom.
Yes.
And operating in the right spirit.
Yes.
And if I'm bringing the kingdom, and if I'm operating in the right spirit, and the devil says, yeah, but he said this and he did that, it doesn't, the spirit that I am operating in and the kingdom that I'm operating in has dominion even over those things.
Yes.
So don't operate in the wrong spirit, because you're going to have to go by a different set of rules.
And you're going to lose.
And you're going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
You'll lose, man.
And I would, it's like, I just think that these beings, these unclean spirits or whatever these things are that we fight against in the spirit that, that Paul lists out, they have been around for literally hundreds and hundreds of years. They've had all this time to study human nature. They know exactly what battlefields to get you onto that will instantly get you.
Yes.
Don't think that you can step toe to toe with them and you'll be okay. If we could have done that, Jesus wouldn't have needed to come and die on our behalf. You have to be in the camp of King Jesus to have any kind of standing in this, in those realms, in against those types of enemies. They're not powerless. They just have lost authority.
Come on.
So don't lessen yourself under their authority. Stay in the authority of King Jesus.
Kingdom people that stand in the authority of King Jesus as ambassadors of the kingdom, bringing the king's dominion everywhere, begins with us giving the king dominion over us.
Yes.
And if we operate in a different spirit that he's not operating in, and if we're playing with a different kingdom that he doesn't play with, it's going to be bad.
It's like when you say, make sure it looks more like heaven than it does like hell.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever looks like hell, hell is going to be like, oh, perfect. You've made it nice for me. Let me come into this place.
Oh, so we're supposed to be on the offensive. We're not on the defensive. So in the kingdom, we're always on the offensive. And that's why after Jesus rose from the dead, he said, go, 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 go. He wants you to go. And so we're supposed to be on the offensive. Maybe you haven't been able to go to 58 nations like I've been to 58 nations, but you are still on the go and you're doing the works of the Father and you're operating according to the Spirit and the rules of his kingdom, not the spirit of the world. And even if you can find it in the Bible, like I found in the Bible, okay, it's right here. It's right here in the Bible. We should be able to call fire down from heaven. You don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. Jesus is like, can't hang with me if you're going to operate in that spirit. You don't know what spirit that is. Though it was appropriate for Elijah, Elijah was not walking with Jesus. You and I are walking with Jesus. He was walking in the promise of Jesus to come. You and I are living after the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ being filled with his Holy Spirit, and we have to operate in a different spirit, which means we got to alter our state. Boom, there it is.
Boom.
All right. Man, I hope that you guys enjoyed that. Pablo's here. Man, look at Brenda is here. My good friend Robin Day is here. Kathleen, I call you, ma'am. I call you blessed in the mighty name of King Jesus. Standing in agreement, Sarah Spencer says, hey, who was it that we ran into that I ran into in Pennsylvania that is your friend?
Ann Nicholson.
Yeah, Ann, we sure do love you. And thank you so much for coming up to me when I was in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania last week. And then on Sunday, I had some good friends, and I've already forgot their name. They came all the way down from Seattle.
Oh, Black. I know their last name.
Yeah, their last name was Black. Andrew and Caleb. Kayla. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, there they are. So, yeah, man. So they came all the way down from not Seattle, but from Washington. Mm-hmm. They came down to be with us. And I said, man, you guys come in my office and hang out with me. And so they did. And that was really good. I'm about to pray for everybody that's here. But first, let me tell you this. I'm going to be with Pastor Darren Stott on Wednesday night here at Open Door Church. I encourage you guys to come out and to join us on Wednesday night. And then, of course, next Sunday, I'm going to have all the guys from the counter are going to be at all three services at Open Door Church this coming Sunday. And it is going to be something, man. My goodness. We've never done anything like that before.
No, I think this is the perfect time for it. I feel like this is a right now word that's happening and that's coming out. And I'm so glad that we're getting it at the end of the year because it's prep, like launching us into the new year. So I think it's going to be so powerful. I mean, I got to see the filming happen, so I know, like, you know, what the subjects that y'all are talking about. And I think it's going to blow people's minds. And I think that it's going to be like, yeah, this is a voice and this is the delivery of this information is what the church, the body has needed for a long, long time. I feel like it's going to fill in a gap that's kind of just been there. No one's really known what to do with it, how to tackle it. And yep. I feel like this is the perfect, you know, like arrowhead, pioneering the way into jump into it and not be intimidated by these kinds of things as a Christian and as the body of King Jesus.
Come on, sister. Well, friends, I'm about to pray for you. And you and I are going to pray together. We're going to bring the presence of the Lord. If you're somebody who knows how to pray in the Holy Ghost, you just start praying in the Holy Ghost right wherever you're at. And let the Spirit of the Lord move. So here we go. Father God, sir, we repent for operating in any other kind of spirit than your spirit. God, we repent. And Father God, sir, we turn from any other spirit in any other kingdom, and we say, God, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done on this earth, in this earthen vessel, every single person, God, that is watching, on this earth as it is in heaven. And I pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, God, that you would give us the bread of forgiveness and forgive us as we have trespassed others, Lord. And Father, I thank you, Lord. Now, Father, I pray, God, for all of our enemies operating in the right spirit. And I pray, God, for our enemies and those who oppose us and those people who are a part of anti-kingdom projects to shut us down. And we say, no, they will not be successful. They will not. The Spirit of the Lord is successful. We have been revealed to do the works of the Father, and this is what we should do. And Father God, sir, I thank you, Lord God, sir, that every devil that is looking at us is blinded from being able to see us. Father God, sir, we trust in the covert of your wings. And Jesus, I love you, Lord, and I praise you, and I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Connie, thank you so much for joining me here today.
You're welcome. It's always a joy.
Good job. Fun. Guys, all my ODX peeps, I hope to see you out here at the first ODX weekend of 2025 and for the release of our newest TV show that's called The Counter. It's going to be amazing. I also hope to see you out here at the Open Door Food Bank. And yeah, we're going to be feeding at least 4,000 people on Saturday morning. And we're also going to be, you know, praying for those people. We're going to see so many salvations. It's going to be ridiculous. And then Sunday, as I already stated, all five of those cats, they're all going to be with me on Sunday at all three services. Don't forget, guys, that this weekend, be looking for the release of my brand new book, Numbers That Preach, the third and updated revised edition. You see how thick it is? It is a crazy, crazy, crazy cool book. And I'm just so happy with it. I'm very, very, This is a superior book to the first one that I came out with. It's brand new with my good friends out of Destiny Image. And you'll be able to get that online, I think, in January. You'll be able to get that Amazon and also all the bookstores in January. But you can get it through troybrewer.com. And it's going to make a great Christmas gift for somebody. It sure is. All right, guys. I'm going to let you all alone, leave you alone. I got work to do. And until the next time I see you, I call you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Bye-bye, everybody.